When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Things Blues and Southern Rock Podcast, a Southern Storm of bold, liberating rock, shot through with blues, soul, and gospel. And now, your hosts for the show, Brian Jones and Jason Johannes.
Welcome to another episode of the All Things Blues and Southern Rock Podcast on Pantheon Podcast, where you can go to find your favorite music genre podcast. Hopefully that's us. We would appreciate that. So go on over to Pantheon and see what strikes your fancy. With me always is Jason. What's going on, man?
Hey, happy to be here, man. How are you doing?
We're good. We're good. We're definitely good.
Let's talk about, before we get into stuff about our guests, let's tie into it with one of our Pantheon podcast brothers. Brother Jay Scott, the Hook Rocks, had Stephen Piercy from Rat talking about the 40th anniversary of Out of the Cellar and some tours. I found that interview fascinating, Brian. I believe you've listened to it as well.
I did listen to it, and that got me thinking, like, he's got to pursue, It's, they were like, Rat was, Out of the Cellar, that particular era, like, they were like heroes of mine. And yeah, just, that's, when we talked to Jamie St. James, it's kind of that kind of vibe. So I got to try
to pursue Steve. They had a really good run of shows.
It was cool. I mean, Steven doesn't always go like super deep into details, but I felt like it was a little more detailed on this particular conversation with Jay. So it just was very cool. Very cool to hear that. Like, he a little frustrated that he can't get some of the original guys, but he's like, it's just fascinating.
I understood his perspective on that whole thing too. It's not about they need the money. It's not. It's about paying respect to the music they created together.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And how he just says he doesn't, if they're not going to, he can't force them and he's not going to dwell on it. And he just plows forward. What else are you going to do?
What else are you going to do? And that was the third or fourth. I talked to Jay after that because you and I both loved the interview. And he said it was like the third or fourth time Steven had been on. So he's got a pretty good relationship with Steven. And he was able to pull some stuff out that got picked up by Blabbermouth and a couple other things too. So yeah, good job, Jay.
Very cool. Well done. Nice job, Jay. We're talking about bands from that era in this here little intro.
Yeah, but Jack Russell, right, from Great White, who's our guest today, who's very much influenced by blues music and all the good stuff that we like to talk about.
And you were mentioning there's the anniversary of Hooked.
So this is kind of fun too. So in February 18th, 91, the record Hooked, which is the follow-up to Twice Shy, came out. Some good tracks on there. But what I just found out, a piece of trivia, Brian, the album cover is a three-pronged fishing hook with a skimpily clad blonde model riding on top of it. That model is Kristen Bauer. And if you've watched True Blood, which is a vampire show on HBO, she was one of the main vampires in that TV show. So I guess she was a model earlier on, and she is the person riding the hook on the Hooked album cover.
I think, if I remember right, there was a couple different versions of that cover. There's one where she's just coming out of the water.
Yeah, yeah, so... yeah. Then one fully outside of the water. That is correct. But she was the actress. She was the model that is on the hook.
They may have felt that she was too scantily not covered or something, but...
Man, bunch of prudes back in 1991 when that came out. But, you know, there's some good songs on that one, too. It wasn't as commercially successful as Twice Shy, but there is... It is. I just listened to it not too long ago after we had Jack on, and I really do like that record.
Yeah, and I got to go back and listen to that stuff too. Like when after I listened to Jay talking to Steven Piercy, I listened to Out of the Cellar. I'm like, I forgot how good.
Yeah,
this
I did too.
So
that still holds up well, man. That Out of the Cellar record, Twice Shy, Hook, they still hold really well. Good music is good music, and it lasts forever.
Yeah. So I got to listen to some Great White. And cool, we're going to talk to Jack. We did talk to Jack, and you guys will get to hear it. Now, ties in with, you know, another band we talked so much about, LA Guns, and Jack did this project with Tracy Guns.
Yeah. It was Track White Tracy Guns is what it's called. And it's, I like it. It is very modern rock. So it's got all kind of the stuff Tracy's doing with some of the bluesy rock undertones of Jack Russell and or I should say Russell Guns. Oh, I said White, Jack White. That's completely wrong band. Russell Guns. Jack Russell's voice sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it does. It sounds really, really good. Yeah. And like LA Guns, you know, is kind of goes more towards hard rock, sometimes even maybe slightly metal. And this is more rock and roll, blues-based kind of rock, some of it.
Yeah. It's great, man. I really enjoy it. You know, they didn't, you know, open up any new horizons, but it's good for the type of a rock that it is, man. I've listened to it a couple times.
Yeah, so you guys kick back and relax and listen to our conversation with Jack Russell. We're here at the guest segment of the podcast, and I'm throwing it over to Jason to introduce our guest today.
Been very excited today. We have a legendary singer, blues rock. He has a great new project with one of our favorites, Tracy Guns, going on. Being on the show for the first time, it's Jack Russell, man. How you doing, Jack?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being on, man. It means a lot to us to have someone of your caliber on here.
Oh, a caliber Schmelber. I'm just a singer, man. That's it.
What a very good blues rock singer. You know, I mean, we do this all things blues and Southern rock thing, but we venture out in other rock territory as well, and you kind of cross all genres.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I've been very fortunate to been blessed with a pretty decent voice.
So you've got this project with this record with Tracy Guns called Medusa. And how'd this all come together, man? It's a great record, by the way.
Thank you. Well, the label actually introduced me to the idea because we're both under contract with the label. And they asked me if I wanted to do an album with Tracy. And I said, well, you know, I don't really have time to sit down and write songs right now because I'm right in the middle of working on our new album. And he goes, oh, no, the songs have already been written. We just want you guys to go in and play them and sing them. I said, oh, that's fine. Let me hear them. So I thought, okay, this is cool. This is doable. You know, it's fun. So we did it remotely. It was really trippy. I mean, I did a record and never laid eyes on Tracy. It's really, really strange. Yeah, it was really strange, man. It was fun, though, wasn't it? It was neat to see how technology really is It enables you to do just about anything these days.
Yeah, that's I think that's how Tracy does everything with LA Guns and this other project he put together. But have you guys known each other for a long time? Is there, what's the back history there?
I've known Tracy for a long time, yeah. I haven't spoken to Tracy in quite a few years, actually. If that doesn't seem strange, what does? I mean,
well, you've got this record with him, though.
I got a record with him, though. Yeah, we spoke together on the album. But yeah, it was weird, man. I mean, they just sent me they sent my engineer, my recording guy in L.A. All the songs, and then the tape, you know, the recordings. Mm-hmm. And we hooked it up, and I sang remotely. I have a studio we built out here in Denver, and went through I think I'm trying, can't speak here. Went through the internet, and so I sang in my living. We built a studio in my buddy's house. And that we can just take apart and put together again real quick. There's a couple walls, mm-hmm. you know, that collapsible, and then we have the console and a computer. And actually, we don't have a console. We just have the computer, and he's got all the other stuff at his house because he's got a recording studio there. And I just sing the mic in Denver. I mean, yeah, in Denver, and he records it in L.A. and then sends it off to them in Italy, and they do the rest. So it's amazing how things have changed and how technology has really come a long way. I mean, at first I was like, what? How's this going to work? I mean, I was not too sure if I was included on it. I mean, in if I was up to it, or if I was like, you know, digging the whole vibe, or if I thought it was going to be cool enough. But you know, it was great. It was so cool. I didn't have to leave the comfort of my own, you know, home, basically. You know, I didn't have to fly back to LA, you know. So it's quite amazing what we can do these days, you know.
Oh, for real. And so going back to this record, so you didn't really write in the songs, they were kind of given to you.
Alessandro Del Vecchio was the primary writer. Me and Tracy just kind of threw our little things in there here and there, you know, made it our own.
Did they send any, like, any rough vocal tracks or anything for you to kind of hear?
Yeah,
or,
like, they okay. had a they had a guy that did the demos on the tunes, so I knew what they wanted me to do. I had to change a few things because, you know, the language barrier. There was a few things that just didn't work out, so I had to make some changes here and there, you know. But all in all, it came out really good. I'm really happy with it. You know,
your voice sounds great, man. It sounds really great, and it's a little bit of a departure or change from what you normally do. It's a bit more mainstream rocky. I mean, some of the blues stuff's still in there, but it's a little bit like maybe straight hard rock.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I mean, I guess you'd call it that. You know, I just sang what I thought was, sang it the way I thought it was, you know, they wanted me to sing it, you know, and without losing myself in it, you know.
Yeah, but you do, man. Your voice sounds great.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Not bad for an old fart, you know.
Not bad at all.
So you said Al Del Vecchio, he kind of spearheaded this whole thing. So did he have all this and then ask Tracy? Because I just want to make sure, I didn't know if this was something that Tracy created himself, or did he got asked first and then you, or?
I don't know the exact sequence of events, to be honest with you. I was just asked if I wanted to do a record with Tracy. You know, I said, yeah, sure, why not? They go, we have all the songs written. I go, well, that's even better.
So that's like for you, like singing lyrics that are already written. Is there any challenge in that for you?
Yeah, it is, because it's, you know, I like to write about stuff that I've been through, you know, and personal stuff. But I mean, I guess the songs are so, you know, they're pretty benign, you know, and I think anybody that's ever been in love before, had their heart broken, you know, it can relate to the lyrics. So it wasn't like I had to stretch very far to understand what they were talking about. You know, I mean, it was like just sing it as it was supposed to be sang, you know. And yeah, I made some changes in it to make it more or less my own. But I gave them what they wanted as well, you know.
Hello, Pantheon podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has 3 pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house. And my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have, but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out. Because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with 2 devices at once, new quick charge function, 3 customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode, available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So, what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
So yeah, I think this kind of sounds like it's more right up your alley than Tracy's, usually a little closer to kind of a metal side, like a heavier Zeppelin kind of side of things. So it's cool to hear him playing something that was more a blues rock, blues based, but it definitely, it just sounds like a good pairing. It sounds real natural for you.
Yeah. Tracy's a great guitar player. I've always liked this playing.
But yeah, I just saw those guys about a little bit over a week ago in Cincinnati, man. And that those guys still are hell performers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're a great band, man. You know, I thought they were well underrated in the early days, you know. They just kind of got stuck in that hump, you know.
Yeah.
And where they were like the perennial openers, you know. And you know, I always felt they deserved more than that because they were a better band than they got received as. You know, but there's only so much room on the bill, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming a project like this is just, it just gets recorded and, you know, there probably won't be any shows, or was there any talk about that or trying to do a show or two or?
Nothing's been mentioned yet. I wouldn't be surprised if it came up, but, you know, I don't know whether or not I'd be able to do that. You know, I'm not going to say no right now because, right. You know, right now we're just getting ready to go out on the road ourselves. So it would have to be a timing thing and, you know, the money would have to make sense. And, you know, because, I mean, I owe my band, you know, a living too. You know what I mean?
If I just call her and go,
okay, guys, I'm going to go out and do this thing with Tracy and me and him are to make money. You guys have to sit there on your own and I don't know how you're going to get through the year. You know, so, I mean, I do owe them something. You know, I'm not just going to bail out on them. You know, they wouldn't do that to me. So.
Yep, for sure. So
I have to line up in a perfect, you know, line. And, you know, the moon would have to turn blue and, you know.
Well, what's going on outside this record? So you kind of started talking or hinting at that you may be recording another record or getting out on the road.
Yeah. We got shows. We just started playing shows again. We had a few months off.
Yeah.
And so now we just did our first couple of shows last weekend, and we're going out next weekend. We got a show in Vegas on Friday night. And then we come back, and then, you know, we've got shows on and off, and they're just booking, they're just adding to the list, you know. Looking forward to getting out and playing some more live shows. I like playing live, and I love it.
You mentioned possibly you're doing a record too.
Yeah, we're about halfway done in the middle of writing it. I just got to finish working on some lyrics for like some of the songs, and some of the songs I got to write full songs, you know what I mean? But I mean, I'd say we're about 5-6 songs in. I'd like to be sitting pretty with 12, so I got at least 11 I can use, you know, and then a pinch to grow on. Mm-hmm.
When we were just talking about LA Guns and talk about them being the perennial openers, Jason and I have always talked about bands like, you know, LA Guns, Great White, Tesla, Cinderella, Junkyard. We're all bands that were more rock, blues, bluesy rock kind of based, that got kind of put in the shuffle of, you know, this, what they call glam metal.
Yeah.
Was that just anything you guys took in stride, or did nothing you thought about, or?
Now, there was nothing we could do about it. I mean, you know, you lead a horse to water, you know. I mean, it's like, look, no, we're not a hair band, but you have hair. Oh, okay. Not very much. You didn't quit calling me that now.
Not as much makeup either.
No, I never. That was, you know, unfortunately, some of my guys fell into that trap, but I never got into that. I never was into the big huge hair and, you know, spiking it up to like this big, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like the world's widest afro, you know.
So I know you're a big Led Zeppelin fan and Robert Plant fan, and those guys were influenced.
We told you that.
The internet.
yeah, right. I can be anything you leave on that.
You know, and those guys are obviously influenced from the blues, as they started as an electric blues band. What's your relationship with the blues? Is it a genre you've always liked? Is it something like through Zeppelin or other bands you've sort of caught on to?
You know, all the bands I liked when I was growing up, you know, I was really into Motown.
Oh, yeah.
Really into Motown when I was a kid. And from there, I kind of got into the blues, and then I got into bands like Zeppelin and Aerosmith, and, you know, bands of that ilk, and any bands that had, you know, a hint of the blues in them, I seemed like I gravitated to. You know, it's I just love that feel, man. I mean, life is the blues, man. It fills your soul, you know. I mean, at least it does mine. I mean, it just makes sense to me, you know, because it's. I mean, without the blues, what would there be, you know?
Not rock music, not country, not really anything like modern music as we know it.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So you know, I just do what I like, you know, and the songs I've written over the years, you know, they have, you know, they're blues-based. That's just because that's where my heart lies, you know?
Yeah. And like Brian said, like we've always been, even though in our youth, more of the hard rock metal fans, but usually the bands that do influence with the blues, all, you know, we're big Led Zeppelin fans as well. When you were growing up and listening to Motown music, were you trying to emulate that, sing as a kid before you really got into the rock thing? And kind of how did you figure out that you were a really good singer?
You know, I started singing in the choir when I was in military school in fifth grade. And we used to go out with the choir and do, like, you know, patriotic songs, and we'd sing at places like you know, the VFWs, and for the disabled veterans, and whatever kind of stuff we could do to help out, you know, the disabled veterans, or or whatever it was we could do. That we had gigs to entertain the people, the war veterans, and you know, things like that. So it was a lot of fun, and that got me into singing as far as like in public. You know, I mean, I always sang. I sang, 24 hours a day. I mean, my house is like, you know, sing. And then when I found out what I was into, you know, it just happened to be bands like the Beatles, the Beach Boys, and then going on from there, you know, the heavier side would be Aerosmith, Led Zeppelin, you know, anything that had good melodies and a decent voice would really turn me on, you know?
So we've had Frank Cannon from Teslon. We've had Brian Forsyth from Kix. And I don't think I got around to asking them, but I think it was in 1989 that you all did a tour together. It was a cool, Great White and Tesla, and then Kix opened. That sounds like just a fantastic show.
Fucking awesome.
Any memories on how that came together? Or did you guys,
my
Tesla with Flip Flop headlining, right?
Yeah, my manager put it together because they didn't, you know, we didn't want to have somebody headline over us, especially since we were basically selling the same amount of records. We were selling a little more than they were. To give you an example, I mean, we went out and every night's T-shirt count tally was, you know, we sold more shirts on the whole tour every night. We sold more shirts than they did, except for in Sacramento, which was their hometown.
Right.
They beat us out that night. But, I mean, so, you know, it was fine. I didn't mind having every other night headline. You know, it was cool. There was no big ego trips, and the bands were well suited for each other. You know, you had two great singers. Pardon me, I didn't mean to sound like it did, but I mean, you know, two well-to-do singers, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, the bands were great, and the songs were great, and then you top that off with Kix. I mean, shoot. Yeah, I mean, what a bill that was. Yeah, that's a lot of.
I wish I could go back in time. I wish I could go back in time and hear that.
And you and me both. I wish I could go back in time and do it all over again. Those are some fun days, man. I've had an amazing life. I've had an amazing, amazing, amazing life. I mean, despite all the crap that's been thrown in there just to keep it interesting.
Yeah, right. You know,
It's been really just a wonderful, scary, you know, I mean, it's one of those lives you're going to be thinking about, that really happened to one guy? You know, that's got to be a bullshit story, you know. People are going to read my autobiography, my biography, and they're going to go, that ain't right, you know.
What would you say like your top three career points of your life are, like the top three things that you've done?
Top three things I've done, God,
yeah, career wise like your three career highlights.
Well, okay. Being on five major record labels over a course of a career. Now, that's something I've never heard of anybody. Five different major labels. You know, I just don't know when to say die, do I? You know?
Nope.
So, yeah, it's like, you're over. No, I'm not. it's, you know... There's that, there's, you know, I'm sorry, hang on, my wife's trying to get my attention.
Yeah, no worries.
Irvine Meadows, right?
Oh, yeah. Anyway, so thank you. I appreciate that. I remember one of the biggest moments for me was there's a gig out in Orange County and outside of Los Angeles. It used to be called Irvine Meadows. And an outdoor amphitheater, all about 18,000, you know, when it's packed to the rafters. I mean, beautiful outdoor gig. And when we sold that out that night with Tesla, I can't remember who was opening for us that night because we switched off. We had Kix did open up for us for a while. Badlands opened us.
Yeah, great
that
band.
Was part of it. Yeah. Shame about Ray. Yeah. What a great guy he was.
That first Badlands record, Brian, you're probably a big fan of it. I know. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, that was awesome. It was awesome. I've always been interested in what was going on in Los Angeles pre, like, 1982, 83, because I know you started back, like, in what, the mid-70s or late, between mid and late 70s, and you saw that whole thing all, you know, go through this boom of, you know, the way the Sunset Strip looked at its peak, and I'm sure that's, unless you were there, it's hard to put it into words, but.
Yeah, no, you'd never be able to get a grip on it. If you weren't there, I could never explain to you how cool it was. I mean, you know, how bombastic and just how larger than life everything was. I mean, music was like the key to everything. It was like the pinpoint, the center of the universe was music. Everything else was just kind of like, you know, hanging off the edge of that. It was almost like the 70s, but it was even bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, music will never be as popular and as important in people's lives as it was then. Music, everybody was into music. This was before the video game thing and all the, you know, it was like music was it, and, you know, that was it. And there was so many great bands. So many great bands, like Cinderella, you know, Rat, Dokken, the list goes on and on.
Yeah.
I mean, and it was just a hell of a good time. What a great time it was to come up, you know, because it only downsized from then. After that, it'll never be as big as it was in the 80s. And, you know, unfortunately, we'll never see that again. You know, I mean, I would be completely blown away if it ever got to a point where it was even close to that.
Yeah, there's too much corporate-owned radio and a couple, you know, only a couple people really own all this stuff. So it's very controlled of what you're allowed to hear now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad, man. It's sad. We have no, there's no choice in what you want to hear. You know, there's no like calling for a request line, and you know, it's just like, it's just here. This is what you're going to hear. And that's all you're going to hear.
That's why kind of podcasts are important too, because we have all these great artists on, you know, up and coming artists or, you know, mainstream or midstream to try to give some more, you know, platforms for people to speak and be heard.
Absolutely. Podcasts are hugely important. They're just doing what radio did in its yesteryear, you know? And thank God there's an outlet for that, because there's so much good music out there that will never be explored, never be played on major radio. And it's just because politics.
Yeah.
You know, nothing to do with the music not being good. You know, it's all that kind of music. That's old style. It's like, what do you mean it's old style? It's good music. People would love to hear it.
Yeah.
You know, instead they're listening to, you know, either 80s rock stations or they're listening to podcasts or other streams of music streams to play the music that they like. You know, I mean, believe it or not, there are bands that are still, you know, I hate to say 80s-esque, but playing rock and roll, you know, and not that you would know it. You know,
we're going to go to find out about them.
It seems like everything's like, it's just all that's all gone and by, and it's not. It's not. People still love that kind of music. And if there was a format for it, you know, you'd be having bands selling millions of records. You know, but they just, nobody gets any airplay. You know,
people still go to shows, though. You know, maybe not as many arena bands, but there's still theater bands and out, you know, medium sized amphitheater and club bands, and that's flourishing.
Yeah. Yeah, so, it's sad that the way things have gone. That's what happens, though. You know, the corporate world will make a ton of money off something, and then just decide that it's over. We're going to change the dynamic, change everything. All right, that's not cool anymore. Well, this is what's cool. Listen to this now. This is what's going to put money in our pockets. Like, well, what about the people that want to hear our music, and you know, the ones that buy all the albums, the ones that buy the products your advertisers are trying to sell? You won't let them have the music that they want to hear. It's just it's a travesty, man. It really is.
We talked to a lot of newer bands out of the Southeast, kind of this new group of like Southern rock bands. And I'm just wondering if whether from there or anywhere, is there any newer, younger bands that you have heard or liked or taken a fancy to?
You know, there again, there's no radio, so I don't get a chance to hear any music. I'm not really a big technology guru. I'm not into the internet so much, mm-hmm. because I have a hard time wrapping my head around all the tech stuff, you know. I'm gonna put a record on the turntable type of kind of guy, you know, turn on the radio and switch to my favorite channel. But now there are no more channels, you know.
Yeah.
I find myself listening to 80s channels, you know.
I do as well, a lot.
You know, this newest stuff that I like, you know, is like Maroon 5. That's not new.
Right.
I mean, Adele, I think she's just amazing. You know, there's still a lot of new music out there that's good, that deserves being listened to, you know. But as far as like mainstream rock and roll, 80s style, you know, I still think the bands that were doing it back then, you know, are still doing it now. I mean, they've got some great stuff, you know. Not all of them are playing it, though. A lot of them just stopped.
Well, one band that hasn't stopped, Guns N' Roses, and I'm going with this, Jack, is, you know, that Live from the Ritz performance from Guns N' Roses. I believe you guys were the headliners that night, and I've seen that performance. What was that night like?
That was it was amazing. It was amazing. The bummer was, though, that we were supposed to headline.
Yeah,
but we didn't, though. We at the last minute we were told.
Oh, they flip flopped you.
Yeah, they flip-flopped as the last minute. And our manager said, well, because the MTV and blah, blah, blah want to make a really big deal out of this new band. And my manager was managing them, too. And he said, so MTV wants to have them headline. And whatever, you know, no problem by me. Follow this.
It's a great performance too. Like I've watched it on YouTube.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it actually was we had a really good night. So did Guns N' Roses. It was definitely a concert to not have missed. I mean, people that saw that one saw both bands at their best.
When you say
it wasn't like one band had a bad night and the other one had a good one. We both had stellar nights. You know, the voices were on, the guitarists were on. It was a lot of fun. The crowd was just over the top.
When you say they changed that at the last minute, did you guys like have your gear on stage? Did that all have to be taken off and their stuff put on, or?
No, I don't think it was that close to the wire, but we weren't told about it until we were on the way to the gig.
Okay.
we were told, oh, by the way, headlines have been changed. They're gonna close the show. We're like, what? What the, you know? And after we got over the little ego, you know, wah, as we figured, yeah, what the hell, man? You know, what the hell? Their time's coming, you know? And that's fine. We don't care. You know, better be a hard act to follow and follow a hard act, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you guys were a great sounding live band too. You know, it wasn't just Studio Magic, but you guys got on stage and sounded like you did on the records, you know, had the same soul and feel that you had. It was, you know, I wish I would have seen you guys more times than I'd seen you, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. The band was a great live band, man. It really was. I mean, we could hold a candle up to anybody. I mean, you know, Great White was one hell of a band. Mm-hmm. In its heyday, I'd put us up against anybody.
Oh, sure.
You mentioned Rat earlier, and that made me remember that I saw you guys open for them, and it was like Warrant played first, and they had just kind of broken through. Open. And then you guys were in the middle, and then Rat. That was a great show.
That was a great show. It was a lot of fun. I just saw a picture of that where me and Janie Lane, I shaving creamed him with a plate after the show. And then he totally dosed me with it. So we're both sitting there, you know, I'm wearing my stage clothes. I got off stage. He's using his boxers. We're just totally, you can't even see our faces barely, except where the eye holes are poked out. It was a great picture.
That guy could write a song as good as anybody too.
Oh man. Great guy. Sweetheart, man. He's like my brother. Yeah.
A good Ohio guy like myself. I live in Ohio, though not Akron. I'm in Columbus, but you know,
Columbus is great. I love Columbus.
Yeah, man, it's not a bad city. Now Brian's in Fargo, North Dakota, so he's a little farther away.
And a little farther to go.
Uh-huh. Yeah, a little colder.
It was at the West Fargo Fairgrounds that I saw that show with you guys and Rat and Warrant.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right on. Yeah, that was a fun tour. That was a really fun tour.
I'm going to go back to the Zeppelin stuff real fast because obviously, you know, a fan. You guys, you know, I know you did a cover of Zeppelin tunes, probably hit Zeppelin just as good or better than anybody I think that's ever tried to cover Zeppelin stuff. And Jack, I think a lot of that has to do with your soulful bluesy vocals, but even the playing from the band and sort of my measuring stick with Zeppelin covers is my favorite song since I've been loving you. For, you know, and you guys knocked that one out of the park, man. What is it like to sing such well-established, well-loved songs and like just kill it?
I feel blessed, you know, I really do. It, listening back to it, I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
That's a pretty high note too, boy. Yeah. Well, you know, to be young.
Yeah. Do you still like throw a Zeppelin tune in your set list now?
Yeah, every once in a while, sure. Yeah. Yeah, right now we're just starting to include a lot of different stuff that we haven't played off some of our other albums, like off of Sail Away and Psycho 3. So, I'd rather give the time to one of our own tunes if I have a choice.
Yeah.
I know we're bouncing back and forth. I want to go back to the Sunset Strip. Was there a point in it where you could look at it and go, this is getting too many people that were coming to Los Angeles? So, like, was there a point where it's like, okay, this is kind of getting old hat or just too much of copycat bands or...
Oh, you know, I never really worried about what was going on in L.A. L.A. was just L.A. I mean, it was just another stop on the run, you know. But it did get L.A. was like, you know, if you weren't from L.A., you weren't going to get heard. So everybody moved out there, you know, and which is okay. And then everybody moved to Seattle. Mm-hmm. and everything's moving here, and we went there. It's like a lake. You know what I mean?
Now they're in Nashville. Everybody's in Nashville.
Fish are biting on the other side of the lake. Okay, here we go over there.
All the boats show up, and the fish go to the other side of the pond.
I was also wondering about, like, you've got friendship or back history with Don Dokken. Can you talk about that at all? Or
no, fuck Don.
That's our show bumper, Brian, right there.
No, Don's great, man. I love Don. Don was a huge help. He was a huge help in us, man, getting started. I mean, he produced our first EP, co-produced our first album with Michael Wagner. He's done a lot of stuff for me over the years. We've written songs together, many songs together, actually. I call him Dad. You know, he's always been my my mentor, you know.
Right on. So when you get touring again, where are you headed to? Like, how soon does this ramp up? How many shows are you guys going to be doing?
Oh, we don't know. We're still just adding them along as they come. You know, we started last weekend, and we're going out next weekend again. And we just got weekend shows. That's what we're doing. We're not taking a bus out or anything like that. It just doesn't make sense anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We like to play the weekend shows. Right, just on. Go do two or three in a row, and, you know, the rest of the week, just kick back.
Sounds like a good way to live.
It is. It is a good way to live, man. You know, I enjoy it. And I got to beat the crap out of myself, you know? It's great, you know? I'm 63 years old, man.
Oh, yeah. You got to get a little rest time, man. You've earned it.
Yeah, I sure have. I sure have. But I feel fantastic. You know?
Well, your voice on this Medusa record with Tracy is, man, I was just like, holy shit. Like, that sounds like vintage Jack Russell.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Jack, are you seeing a bigger demand or popularity again of, like, you and the bands from kind of your era, kind of the 80s and 90s again? Because when I go, there's always a show being added. Like, I saw LA Guns. There's a good crowd. Like, to me, it feels like the appreciation and the want again to see, again, like, you guys and your peers play.
Yeah, I mean, you can't just put a stamp on music and say that it's no longer cool. I mean, some people might not like it, but I never went from, like, liking a certain type of music, like, oh, I love that song. Oh, now I don't like it.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's like, God, that chick used to be beautiful. And you know, either you're beautiful or you're not. Either it's a great song or it's not.
Yeah.
You know? If you're sick of it, then walk away from it for a little while and play it again. See what you think. You know? I mean, music doesn't change. We do.
I think... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say... And I'm going to throw this at you, Brian, to see if that's your perspective, is, like, the music doesn't change. But I think when we go as fans and listen to you and people that we grew up with now, it's a chance for us to feel a little bit young again and remember what that was like. And music brings back such vivid memories. You know, not only is the music great, like you say, it doesn't change, but also gives us a chance to feel young again. What do you think, Brian?
Well, for sure. And I think it was just recently I was reading an interview with you, Jack, or with someone from that era, that it said, well, now everybody's kids are 20 years old, so they can go back. People can go out again, go out to the bar.
Mine are in college, so I can go wherever I want.
Yeah, right. Oh, excuse me. Got to show off my Killer Dwarf shirt.
Oh, nice. I love it. I'm wearing a Cinderella shirt. You got Killer Dwarves on.
Yeah, they're on a ship, so, I mean, you got to love that.
You gotta love it.
Best of both worlds.
All right, Jack. I think you probably have to go. We're at time, but where do we go? And we thank you for your time, by the way. This has been great. You have to come back and talk to us again. Where do we go? Where do our listeners go to find out more about you, your albums, your tour date? Is there a website, social media? Where should we send them?
I have to ask my wife. She's big on this stuff. She handles all this stuff for me. Hey, Heather, where do people go to find out information?
Jack Russell's, at Jack Russell's Great White on Facebook, at Jack's Great White on Twitter.
At Jack's Great White on Twitter. Jack Russell's Great White on Facebook.
And Jack Russell's Great White on Instagram.
And Jack Russell's Great White on Instagram.
All right.
There might be some more. I don't know. I'm so not computer savvy.
It's good that you have help and family help, your wife help. But I have to talk to my kids about, I do a lot of the social media posts outside of Facebook. Brian's got the Facebook locked down. So I have to ask them a lot of times how to do certain things or how I should. Right.
I have no clue how to do any of this stuff, man. It's...
You got to have some help. Brian, on a side note, I was chatting with Adam Hamilton yesterday and he was complaining. He's like, he was just on our podcast and like, he's like, I'm not really good at posting and like, you know, just asking me stuff. And so I'm like, dude, I have to ask my kids how to do all this shit. Trust me. I get it.
Yeah. Right.
Jack, it was fantastic talking to you. Listen, everybody, go to Jack Russell's Great White on Facebook, Twitter. Check it out. Sounds like he's got shows coming up. There may be another record coming up that we're going to want to listen to. He's a legend, still brings it with a voice. Over to you, Brian.
Well, thank you so much, Jack. Thank you to Jack Russell and Jack Russell's Great White and the great record with Tracy Guns, Medusa. Thank you so much for coming on, man. You're a legend. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me, man.
Thank you so much to Jack Russell for joining us. Man, this is like Frank Hammond. This is like Brian Forsyth and getting to talk to someone that I've been listening to since the mid-80s. And, you know, I think I had Once Bitten and I had Twice Shy on cassette. Yeah.
I had hooked on cassette, I think, or CD, mm-hmm. the follow-up to Twice Shy. You said in the interview, Brian, like you and I always gravitated towards the blue-collar, bluesy, hard rock, and Great White did that style of music as good as anybody.
Yeah, they did. And the record with Tracy is freaking awesome, I think.
It really is. Like I told Jack, I wasn't, you know, blowing smoke, but his voice sounds great on that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and once again, like another band that, you know, Great White, that got mixed in with all, you know, what we'd call hair metal now, and, you know, just like Tesla and Cinderella and Junkyard and Kix and LA Guns,
the ones that really worked hard and did the grind and sold some records and got to do some good shows, but deserved to probably be more popular than what they ultimately ended up being. You know, I know Once Bitten, Twice Shy, that song was a major hit. Of course, Ian Hunter classic, and Twice Shy record sold really well, but you know, they were more talented than a lot of their peers that hit some higher highs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's good to hear, you know, although that's hard to, for anybody to explain it, the Sunset Strip days and even before.
I think you
and,
just had to be there, didn't you? You just had to be there.
For sure. Yeah. But I also appreciate Jack's, you know, love of, you know, blues and blues rock. And that certainly comes through in his music for sure.
Well, being a Zeppelin fan or Aerosmith fan, you can just hear how, you know, they carry that kind on that kind of style with Great White a bit. Again, it's rock with some blues edge to it. And I really did love Great White. And that whole thing, I had to ask him the question about that Ritz performance, because I knew they were supposed to be, or they were the headliners, but it sounded like they got flipped. And all the attention always went to Guns N' Roses for that show. And Great White really never got as much recognition for it. And it's a hell of a performance.
So their set is on YouTube as well, Great White?
Yeah, yeah. I'll send it to you.
Okay, cool.
You know how I know about it? Matt Wake, because Matt Wake's a big
oh, really?
Great White fan, and he posted that before. And that's how I found out about it, through Matt.
Cool.
So thank you, Matt Wake.
Right on. Thank you, Matt. Well, guys, we're getting more people in the, you know, it's, you know, in the Tracy Guns kind of orbit, so... Hopefully that orbit goes full circle. But until then, always remember, Southern Rock is reverent, blues is blood. We'll see you next time.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.